understood. And the pain and the anxiety that that brings. Frustrations in the workplace. Just overwhelming sometimes. And in the midst of all of that, quite frankly, it's sometimes very hard to find a thankful heart. It's hard to go there when all of life just kind of seems overwhelming and negative and broken. And so God says you have to make this a choice. Giving thanks, friends, is a perspective changer if you will choose to go there. Giving thanks keeps us grounded in reality. Now let me add something to that. In His reality. What I mean by that is because life is the way it is and it's overwhelming and sometimes it feels so negative, that feels like all the reality there is, right? But then when you start to reflect and give thanks and take notice of the things that God has been doing and the things that God has provided and the things that God has done and that the fact that in the midst of all of the tough stuff of life, God is there. And God is actually doing something. He's at work in your life. That is the perspective changer. And we forget about that sometimes when all we look at are the circumstances of life. And I get it. Because it's overwhelming sometimes. And that's what we can see and touch and feel with all of our senses. And that's what our hearts are kind of engaged in most of the time. And we kind of forget about the God factor and what He's up to. And that's why we have to practice the discipline of thanksgiving, of giving thanks to God. So I did this survey. I got my concordance and I just looked up a bunch of verses that had the word thanks or thanksgiving. And this morning, I'm just going to hit on three. We could have done a bunch. I could do a whole series on this because there's so much in the Bible that people give thanks for and express thanks to God. And like I said, this little song that we just sang, this Thanksgiving song, really was an outline of and we're just going to look at three this morning. And I just want you to kind of do a little. I mean, I think every sermon I give, one of my goals is that everybody does a little self-evaluation. Because I'm trying to present to you each week, you know, some truth from God's Word. And I think your job, what I've been doing during the week as I've been preparing, is how am I doing with this truth? Is this truth a part of my life? Do I do this? And so I want you to evaluate how you're doing on this, but I also want you to maybe get kick-started if it's not something that you're really doing well at this point. And that is giving thanks in these areas. And the first one I have, and I think we're going to be able to put some verses up on the screen with this, is that we need to give thanks. And in Scripture, it is probably the number one, if you survey, is that people in the Scripture give thanks to the Lord for His perfect, endless love. Thanking the Lord for His love that goes on and on. And one of the main verses here that we could turn to is Psalm 118. Of course, in the Psalms, there's lots of thanksgiving. And it's interesting that most of it takes place in the middle of people, especially David, who wrote several of the Psalms, in the middle of very, very difficult circumstances. Oftentimes when he was facing enemies that were trying to kill him, when he was facing pressure to people trying to overthrow his kingdom and people trying to ruin his reputation, and he was battling oftentimes against very difficult circumstances, but in the midst of it, he chose to give thanks to the Lord for God's endless, perfect love. And so Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, David says. And these were words that were in that song we just sang. For He is good. There's a reason to give thanks. Don't just give thanks for no reason, but give thanks to the Lord for He is good. And part of the overflow of that goodness, part of the attributes, one of the key attributes of that goodness is that his love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, those were the priests, let them say his love endures forever. And then David kind of includes everyone else that might fall through the cracks or not fit into that. Anyone who fears the Lord, who knows the Lord, let them say his love endures forever. Again, David was a man after God's own heart. And what he was doing here, he was facing some difficult circumstances, but what he was doing here is something that we all need to do. And what he was doing is David was preaching to himself. He was doing, I guess what modern psychologists would say, he was doing self-talk. He was, you know, we talk to ourselves all the time, right? In our minds, we speak to ourselves. And oftentimes we say messages to ourselves that just reinforce all the negativeness and difficulty that we find ourselves in the middle of. We're in the middle of a situation that feels overwhelming, and so we say to ourselves, man, this is just overwhelming. And I just can't handle this. And I am just I don't know what to do, and I just, you know, I'm not going to be able to get through this, and we these little messages, we just talk to ourselves, and so David kind of puts the brakes on that, and he says, wait a minute, instead of just saying negative things to myself, I am going to choose to give thanks to the Lord. And I'm going to choose to put my focus upon the Lord. And in the middle of all the bad, I'm going to thank him for his faithfulness. I'm going to thank him for his goodness, because it's truth. Is it not truth? Even when times are bad, even when difficult circumstances are difficult, the truth is God is good. And he reminds himself of that. So he kind of puts the brakes in. He says, I know all this is overwhelming, but God, thank you. Because you are good. And with that, I think he's saying, and therefore you give me hope. You give me hope. You give me something good to cling to in the midst of the difficulty. And then he kind of, oftentimes he connects the two. In fact, God, it's your goodness in the midst of this difficulty of life that I recognize that you're at work in the middle of all this. This didn't catch you off guard. You didn't fall asleep and then a bunch of bad things happened and then you woke up and went, uh-oh. You've been involved the whole time. In fact, you've even allowed this stuff. You've allowed these difficult circumstances that I'm in. And you're actually going to use them to make me stronger in my faith. You're going to... This testing of my faith thing that I'm going through, you're going to use this if I will trust you and worship you in the middle of it. You're actually going to make me a stronger Christian. I'm going to grow. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. You are good. You're good in your promises. You're good because you are present to me. You never leave me nor forsake me. You are good. Your plan is good. You have a perfect plan for my life, and you're working that plan right in the middle of the bad circumstances. Your purposes are to make me more like Christ and to deepen my character and to deepen my trust in you. Your purposes are good. You see, God's not evil. God's not playing games with you. God's not like giving you the bait and switch. You know what I mean? He's not like telling you he's good so you'll trust in him, and then when you finally put your trust in him, he's gonna reveal his true colors and he's just gonna whack you and judge you. No, God is good. And he uses these difficulties. God doesn't have an ulterior motive in his heart. You know how most people, including us, if you think about yourself, oftentimes we have an ulterior motive for why we might do something good for somebody else. It's usually to get something out of it for ourselves. God doesn't have an ulterior motive. His goodness is pure. His plan for you is good. And his love endures forever. Friends, his love for you this morning is unending. His love for you is not fleeting. You're not going to wake up in 2 weeks and his love is going to be like waning away and declining. And like he's just fed up with you. He's had enough of you. His love endures forever. In fact, long after this present set of circumstances that are driving you crazy, think about it. Think about what they are. You got things in your life that are driving you crazy right now. Those are going to last a little while, and then they're going to be gone, and God's love is still going to be there. And a new set of problems are going to crop up, and new problems are going to arise, and new challenges, and God's love is going to, if you will lean into Him, they will carry you through that. And then when those pass away, His love will still be there, just as strong as ever. And then one day, this is the Christian big picture perspective, all your problems are going to be done. They're going to be gone. And we're going to be with Jesus in His presence. And there will be no more sadness. And there will be no more weeping or pain. We will be in His presence in the new heavens and the new earth. And His love will still be there as strong as ever. Friends, His love endures forever, and that is what gives us courage and hope in life circumstances. So we thank Him for His love that endures forever and His goodness. A second thing I saw in this little survey of Scripture I did is that we are to be thankful to God for our salvation. For our salvation. This is just if you want to think about, well, what does God's goodness really provide for us? Well, what it mainly provides specifically and practically is His salvation. His love and His goodness are active. They're not just kind of pie in the sky ideas. Because He loves us, He saves us. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we are to be thankful for our salvation. Another verse from Psalm 118 a little bit later. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation, David says. You have become my deliverer. You have rescued me. And that's true of all of us. We were all in a place where we were lost and without hope. And Christ came to rescue us and to deliver us. Not from outside enemies primarily there, but from our own sin. And so we are to thank God for our salvation. Earlier, I shared just a little bit about this friend of mine, Kevin, that God used to expand the gospel because Kevin was sensitive to God and was wanting to serve God. And when he met a very immature 20-year-old kid, who thought he knew everything, but didn't really know anything, he patiently shared the good news of Jesus Christ with me. And I went from being very anxious and afraid of death, very anxious because I felt like I was striving to please God and do the right things to make God love me. And he shared the good news about that salvation is by grace. And it is through faith alone. And would you put your faith in Christ? And I did that. And I say, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. And I want you to think back to the circumstances in which you came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you have a memory Even if it's not like I remember on this day, I was at a Billy Graham crusade and I went forward and accepted Christ. If that was your story, amen, praise the Lord, thank Him. But whatever the circumstances, who did God use? Who were those people? What were the circumstances that were going on in your life? Most of us, it was during maybe a low time, a crisis, and we were in trouble, and we were overwhelmed, and somebody explained that God had sent His Son, and we put our faith in Christ. We are to thank the Lord for our salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:15 puts it this way. All this, he's talking about God's grace, is for your benefit, so that the grace, that's salvation, the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And there in that little passage, Paul's just saying, as the message of the gospel, as the impact of God's saving grace goes forward and it increases more and more, as we see it spreading and saving more lives, we are to give thanksgiving to God. We're to praise Him and say, thank You, Lord, for saving one more. And what Paul's really saying is, think about this. He's saying, I shared God's grace with you and you got saved, talking to the people in the church in Corinth. He led a lot of them to the Lord. But now he's saying, and now you've gone and you've shared with other people. And that grace and the message of that salvation and forgiveness of sin has now gone more and more to more and more people because you're spreading it. And as you see it spread, you should give thanks to God and praise the Lord. So I guess the question is, not only are you saved and have you received that yourself, praise the Lord for your salvation, but are you part of the more and more? Meaning, are you sharing that grace, that good news with other people? Because when that happens, it brings glory to God. That's how that verse ends. It brings glory to God because that's His plan all along. That's the main thing God is up to, bringing more and more people to Himself through the good news of Jesus Christ. But we have to be the ones who share it. Are you looking for opportunity? Is it even, friends, let me just ask you this. Is it even on your radar screen? Can you picture yourself in like a million years, can you picture yourself actually sitting down face to face with somebody and just sharing with them the good news about Jesus Christ? And friend, family member, I care about you. I love you. And I just want you to know what Jesus did for you, what He's done for me, what He did for me, and what He can do for you. Will you put your faith in Him? We praise the Lord for our salvation and for sharing it with others. And then finally, to just extend this just a little bit further in this last one, we thank the Lord. We are to thank the Lord for the victories that He gives us in the Christian life. Because like I said earlier, salvation doesn't stop the moment you accept Christ. That's the entrance. That's the beginning. And so all along through the New Testament, we see tons of passages of people giving thanks for what God has done since He saved them. You know, because when we get saved, we're just sinners. We're baby Christians. We drag into the Christian life a lot of the junk, right? We drag it in, all the junk that we used to be involved with, all of the stuff. And our bad habits, also known as sin, and we bring that into the Christian life, and then God begins, if we will walk with Him, He begins to give us victory, and victory is freedom. So look at just one more passage with me here. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, 57 and 58, but thanks be to God, there's the thanks, He gives us, talking to Christians, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Victory, what do you mean victory? Victory over what? He gives us victory over the hold of sin in our life if we will walk with Him and trust Him and live by faith. And when He does that, gives us that victory, then we are to give ourselves even more fully to Him and to His work. That's what we were saved for, to give ourselves to Him. One more verse. I thought that was the last one, but I got one more for you. I just want to look at real quick here. Romans 6, 17 and 18. Another thank you. But thanks be to God, writing to Christians here, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly back then obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. However you were raised, that wasn't part of Christ. You used to follow that way. That was true of these people in Rome. But now, verse 18, you have been set free from sin to become slaves to righteousness. When I think about my life before Christ, and some of the things that I was enslaved to, growing up in a very non-Christian home, in a very non-Christian broken environment, probably I was just a normal kid, but a normal kid meant I was addicted to some things I shouldn't have been involved with. The way that I thought about other people was very hateful and judgmental. The words that came out of my mouth were full of cursing and just bitterness. And I was a slave to that. It's like I couldn't stop. The truth is, I didn't want to stop. I didn't have any reason to stop. That was just who I was. I didn't realize I was a slave. But then the Lord convicted me. And I experienced that salvation. And I began a process. At first, I was forgiven by God. And you were too when you accepted Christ. You were forgiven for the penalty of that sin in your life. God was no longer holding that against you in terms of heaven or hell and your eternal destiny. First, He forgives us for the penalty of sin. But then He starts this work in us, and where He forgives us and He delivers us from the power of sin in our lives. And we begin to see, wait a minute, this thing in my life, it's a problem. It's not pleasing to God. It's hindering my relationship with God. And it's got to end. And then we pray about it. And we say, God, I need Your help. And I need to move from this bad way of doing things to a way that honors You. But I need Your help. And so God comes in and He gives us His Holy Spirit, and over time we have a little victory, you know, and we overcome, and we have a more pleasing life to the Lord. And so to whatever degree that's true of you, where you can look back on your life and say, man, the Lord delivered me out of this sin, or this mindset, or this bad attitude, and He's given me a new way to live. Whatever degree that's true of you, you need to be able to say to the Lord, thank You, Lord, for the victories that You've given me in the Christian life. So as I end this morning, I just want to encourage you to do a kind of a little assignment. Would you take some time to make a list? Everybody's good at making lists. It's not a hard thing to do. Just sit down and say, the things that I'm thankful to God for. And just begin to think. And let God bring thoughts to your mind. People that you're thankful for. Circumstances that you're thankful for. And don't forget to include the things that God has done in your life. The people that God has brought into your life. Again, the victories that He's given you. That things that you used to do that He helped you overcome. Make a list and then take that list. Would you do this for me this week? Make a list and then take that list before God and just spend like 5 minutes or 10 minutes in prayer and just say, thank You, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the victories. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you, Lord, because you are good and your love endures forever. Let's pray together. Father God, pretty simple idea that we are to give thanks to the Lord. My prayer is this morning that maybe through some of these passages of Scripture, maybe something I was able to say through the Spirit, that we would be prompted to be a more thankful people. What I have experienced, Lord, is that it almost never happens just without any effort. It seems like thankfulness is like the opposite of what comes natural to us. And we do live in a hard world. Things are hard. Circumstances are overwhelming. But God, you do call us to develop the discipline, the practice of expressing thanksgiving to you and recognizing that you are at work in our lives. I guess in a sense, Lord, to have like that attitude of gratitude. And for some of us, we just aren't there. It almost never happens. We're just totally focused on the circumstances and on the negative. And so, God, my prayer is that we, as a result of this morning, would begin the habit of thanksgiving, of looking for your work in our lives, of choosing to remember that you are at work, working all things together for the good of those who love you, and that we would practice that discipline of giving thanks to you, and that it would make a difference in our lives and in our perspective. Lord, we give you thanks because you are good and your love endures forever. Amen.